Not that long ago, Katie Porter, she's the former U.S. representative, House representative. She's a former University of California bankruptcy consumer law professor. She was Elizabeth Warren's protege. Not that long ago, Katie Porter was the front runner to replace Governor Gavin Newsom. We know that he's being termed out in 2026. I think that it's going to be Senator Padilla. He's going to announce that he's running for the California governorship. And then Padilla might just, that's going to leave a Senate seat open. Senator Padilla might just appoint that Senate seat to Governor Gavin Newsom. So, yeah, that is my thoughts on it all. I think that Senator Padilla is ultimately going to announce, but we have to talk about Katie Porter today because Katie Porter went from bad to worse really quick. She pathetically tried to explain away these abusive videos, and I'll give you a refresher course on these abusive videos and what she did in these videos and how she really comes off as sociopathic, in my opinion. We're going to take a look at those videos and then we're going to look at how she went from bad to worse because she tried to explain these videos away and she didn't do that great of a job. We're also going to talk about Illinois superintendents. This is a shocking number. I think it's like the top 10 Illinois superintendents. They are making $4 million, $4.2 million, the top 10. And then all the while, your kids can't read. They can't read at grade level, but yet these superintendents are making more than the president of the United States in some cases. Yes, that's real. There's a superintendent here in the state of Illinois. He presides over two schools, okay, just two schools in the district. Some of these districts don't have that many schools in them. And he's getting paid like $400,000 or something like that, which is absolutely wild. It's a scam. So we're going to talk about the $4 million education scam, the top superintendents, their salaries, and how that, you add them up and cumulatively they make $4 million, which is insanity. We are also going to get to Governor J.B. Pritzker. He's caught red-handed. Okay, the internet is forever. And this former police chief, he is exposing this really deceptive video that Governor J.B. Pritzker put out there of him, you know, saying, oh, there's no crime, right? He's been putting those videos out there. Remember him in the military vest where he's like, I'm in the war zone. And he was being really sarcastic. That video was featured on Jimmy Kimmel's show. And the internet has completely erupted. It's probably safe because since January, ICE has been there deporting people out of Little Village. And he's been filming these videos in Little Village saying that, oh, it's so safe here. One, he films them in broad daylight. Two, he films them with his security crew probably all around him. And that area has been the target of ICE operations for quite some time since January. So if there is safety or if you feel safe, Governor JB, it's likely because ICE has already done their job at this point or has, you know, combated the illegal immigration, the criminally illegal immigration that's been going on in the city. So we're going to talk about it. And you won't want to miss this story. This is my favorite story today. These young Republicans, they got their group chat leaked. Okay. And Politico leaked this, all of their chats. The stuff in the chat is gross. I mean, but I'm sure you've said some crazy things in a private text message to your siblings, to your friends, not really expecting it to be leaked or to be seen by anybody. And I think the reason why Politico leaked this was because of the Jay Jones texts being leaked. They are completely ignoring, however, Jay Jones and how he threatened children. And these are not, this is not an apples to apples comparison. We're talking about young Republicans, 24-year-old kids who are not running for office. Okay. Talking about young Republicans who were in a group chat, and they didn't threaten to kill kids in front of their parents. Okay. So it's really pissed me off that Politico is ignoring Jay Jones, the Democrat, who threatened kids and his political opponent with murder, okay, via these text messages, allegedly. So we're going to dig into that. You won't want to miss that story. It's going to be a good one. So like I said, Katie Porter, she was the front runner not that long ago. She was expected to replace Governor Gavin Newsom. He's termed out in 2026. But this hardcore bullying leftist, that's all I can really say about Katie Porter, is that she's a bully and she's a hardcore bully leftist. Her reputation took a serious hit after one video and then two videos. So there was one video that was leaked and another video that was leaked. I think that these videos were leaked intentionally because they don't want Katie Porter. The establishment would probably prefer Alex Padilla, and they love Governor Gavin Newsom, and he's not ready to get out of politics yet. So they've got to open up a seat somewhere. And that seat, Alex Padilla, he would open up that seat and then ultimately would get to appoint Governor Gavin Newsom to that seat. That's what I've been predicting is going to happen. Okay, so these videos that were leaked were seriously damaging. And they really show her abusive behavior towards a reporter who is really asking simple questions, not hard questions at all. And then in another clip we saw later leaked, it was a clip from, I think, 2021 or something like that. She's cursing like a sailor in it. She curses like a sailor at her lowly staffer who dared to step into her shot. Just a refresher, there's this clip. This is her cursing like a sailor. I won't play the abusive video where she's, you know, being really mean to this reporter who just simply asked a simple question. Take a listen to this. Here we go. This was a Zoom call with then Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm. Take a listen.
You ready for stat number two?
I am.
All right. $632. $632, which is how much you save in fuel and maintenance costs when you replace your traditional car with an EV, with an electric vehicle. So I drive, I lease a Chevy Bolt. It is the best car that I have ever owned. I just plug it into the garage, 3-hole prong plug, and I never have to go to the gas station.
That's awesome. And $632 is real money. And I know here at UCI, we have a National Fuel Center Research Center, and they're also doing work on how to make electric vehicles affordable, including for low and moderate income people, working moms, single moms like me, people who really could benefit from an extra $632 in their pocket. And it's also not just the individual savings, but it's also the total savings for our economy. So I'm on the oversight committee, you might know, and that is where we did a study recently this fall in September. And what it showed is if we don't electrify our transportation sector, that we're going to lose more than 500,000 Californians dying prematurely to air pollution and other problems. And the state could lose four. Get out of my fucking shot.
I wanted to tell you that that's actually incorrect. It's not that it's electric vehicles. It's that if we don't make the commitments under the Paris Climate Accord.
Okay. It does. Okay. You also were in my shot before that. Stay out of my shot. Okay. I'm going to start.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe that was released. And I can't believe that just doesn't automatically disqualify her, that she hasn't. I mean, she was the front runner. She's definitely sinking, I would say, in popularity after that video was released. And then there was the other video of the reporter, her being sort of abusive towards the reporter who asked a very easy question. The question was like, hey, how are you going to get Trump voters to vote for you? You know, you kind of need some Trump voters. Are you going to... how are you going to win their vote over? That's like the easiest question. Like, how are you going to win your opponent's supporters over? I mean, that's, it's just wild that she lost her mind over that question. But yeah, there she was cussing like a sailor. And you can kind of tell the girl in the background, she just keeps going after she goes, get out of my effing shot. And she keeps talking and she just kind of dismisses. That tells me that is not a one-off. This is not, you know, Katie Porter just having a bad day. That tells me, since the girl in the back, her staffer, reacted not like it happened at all. That tells me it probably was a pattern, or it happened frequently to the point where she was unfazed by it. It looked as almost as if she was unfazed by it. Unfortunately, California, they don't have a ton of suitable options. Although there is a Republican running, Steve Helton is his name. He's running a pretty strong race. And then there's this sheriff who's running, Chad Bianco, is in the mix there. But we all know, you know, like Illinois, the GOP win in California is going to be a pretty tough hill to climb. And I mean, let's face it, folks, that's a pretty far left electorate there. I mean, who votes Gavin Newsom in twice? So I don't know. I don't think Porter is going, it's hard to see Porter, Katie Porter, taking the mantle here. However, she has shown zero of Governor Gavin Newsom's characteristics. You know, I would say that she would have a better chance if she was pretty smooth talking, gaslighty. You know, that's Governor Gavin Newsom. That's why I don't think that she's going to be the pick. That's why I don't think she's going to take the mantle here. She is not as smooth as Governor Gavin Newsom, Governor Hairgel. She is just not him. And I think that Senator Alex Padilla is going to be better at dismissing the complete and utter failure that is that state. It is dystopian, California. So I think that Senator Alex Padilla would be better at that. That's why they might shove him out there. But from what I understand, he hasn't announced yet. So we'll have to see. Now, she attempted, Katie Porter, to clean up her brutal remarks to her staffer and the brutal remarks to the reporter from, I think it was ABC affiliate or something like that. She attempted to clean up her brutality with Nikki Lorenzo's. She's a reporter with Inside California Politics. She's a show host, I guess. And quite frankly, it was very, very pathetic. I will share it with you. Here we go. These are her. This is her attempt to clean up and do damage control, really, after those videos were released. Take a listen.
So this is your first time speaking publicly since the now two viral videos. What do you want people to know about you? And do you have the temperament to be the next governor of California?
When I look at those videos, I want people to know that I understand that I could have handled things better. I think I'm known as someone who's able to handle tough questions, who's willing to answer questions. And I want people to know that I really value the incredible work that my staff can do. I think I can, people who know me know I can be tough, but I need to do a better job expressing appreciation for the amazing work that my team does.
So this is your first time speaking publicly since the now two viral videos. What?
Okay. That was kind of pathetic. Okay. She struggled, really. I mean, I don't know if you caught it here, but she kind of struggled to breathe in between like sentences. And she was not very convincing that she was remorseful in any kind of way. She was about as convincing as a shady used car salesman. It sounded like she was trying to convince us, but she didn't even really do that great of a job at it. So Porter's explanation here seems like it's coming out of the mouth of somebody who's an alleged spouse abuser. And I'll get to that here in just a second, because you might not know some things about Katie Porter. She goes, quote, "When I look at those videos, I want people to know that I understand that I could have handled things better." You think, Katie? You think, Miss Porter? "I think I'm known as someone who's able to handle tough questions." Well, you're not even really able to handle simple questions, because the reporter asked you a very simple question. How are you going to win Trump supporters over and get them to vote for you? Very simple question. like, it's not really a tough question. She goes, I think I'm somebody who's able to handle tough questions, who's willing to answer questions. And I want people to know that I really value the incredible work that my staff can do. Okay, I'm sorry, but you like were treating that staff member as if as if she was Dobie the elf from Harry Potter, okay? Or as if she was one of your housemaid slaves. So I'm not really buying it. I'm not buying the apology. I'm not buying the explanation. And like I said, the staffer's reaction tells me that this is more of a pattern, because the staffer just continued with her sentiment there with her, you know, she chimed in. She wanted to correct Katie Porter, when she was talking with the then Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, she wanted to correct her about electric vehicles. And she didn't even really seem all that fazed by somebody screaming, "Get out of my effing shot," and cursing at her like a sailor. The staffer seemed unfazed by it. So this is just the latest, okay, these videos in a long line of examples of this former congresswoman who appears to have some serious anger issues. Okay, these are just the two latest ones. And Porter's ex-husband definitely thinks that she has anger issues, given she allegedly poured scalding hot potatoes over his head. Okay, there was a nasty divorce there. Apparently, she verbally abused a wounded warrior who went to her office, and she blamed this military veteran for giving her COVID-19, which... How do you blame somebody for giving you COVID-19? How do you even know they gave you COVID-19 in the first place? Now, she has responded to these latest woes, okay, to her latest scandal, in really the most, in my opinion, sociopathic way possible. She seems like she has no remorse. Every time I bet this video, and I'm going to share this with you, every time this video gets shared out, this is a video, it's got nearly 1 million views. It's getting shared out there. It's just a compilation of the anger issues we've seen from Katie Porter. I bet every single time this video gets shared out, Katie Porter punches a puppy or something. Take a listen. Here we go.
"I'm running for governor because I'm a leader.
I could lose. Get out of my fucking shot.
Because I'm a leader.
Hold on, I need you to turn these off.
These that are killing me.
Yes, yes, we should have. Yes. Okay, everybody, I'm not that dark.
I'm running for governor because I'm a leader.
You know, this allegation of groomer and pedophile, it is alleging that a person is criminal somehow and engaged in criminal acts merely because of their identity, their sexual orientation, their gender identity.
I'm a leader.
So on election night, I went to pick up my daughter from water polo practice, and she's 12, and she got in the car and she was crying. And I said, did someone punch you? Like, water polo is a rough sport. Yeah. I was like, did someone hit you? Did the coach yell at you? What happened? And she said, Mom, Trump won. Trump's going to win. And what if I get raped and I need to have an abortion? This is from a 12-year-old.
She scolded her husband with that.
I'm running for governor because I'm a leader. I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it.
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it. Yeah, well, maybe you should call it when it comes to your political career. Now, there are some really toxic characters on the Democrat side. I've seen some very toxic type people. You've got the California Democrat Eric Swalwell, definitely intellectually challenged, in my opinion, constantly putting out clickbait type videos. Then you've got Jasmine Crockett. She's the race baiter. You've got Ayanna Pressley. She's American hating. But Porter, I think she definitely takes the award here for just the meanest Democrat. She's the meanest of them all. And her attempts to clean up this toxicity, this damage control, her attempts are just utterly lame, in my opinion. And she should call it. Give it up. Give up your political career. I don't care what you go do. Try to sell real estate. Try to go sell some timeshares. That would probably be more up your alley. You just come off as a bad used car salesman to me. Like, you're not convincing anybody that you're a good person. Especially if your 12-year-old daughter is coming into your car, you're picking her up from practice and she's bawling because President Donald Trump got elected and she wants an abortion at 12 years old or would possibly want an abortion at 12 years. It's outrageous. It just tells me everything I need to know about you as a person. So that's Katie Porter. Smash that like button, share this out with your friends. I've got some Patriot Pump right here. This is our bottle. Patriot Pump Energy. You can go there right now, patriotpumpenergy.com. This is quite a big bottle. It's got some creatine. It's got some black pepper extract. We put 150 milligrams of caffeine in there. The black pepper extract and the caffeine kind of work together to provide you that long-lasting focus. But there's some other great elements in here. No artificial colors. Look at that. The nutrition facts are right there. You probably can't see. But you can go check it all out on our website. The supplement facts are there. This is a great alternative to energy drinks that are on the shelves. When you look on the back of your energy drink, you will see artificial colors. Anything that says natural flavors, by the way, that is artificial coloring and artificial flavors. It's not good for you. This is manufactured right here in the USA. It's a Christian conservative company. We're very transparent about what's in our product. And the energy drinks on the shelf, you'll see caffeine, 300 milligrams. You'll see sugar, loads of it, like 26 grams of sugar. This is sweet. It's a fruit punch flavor. I like the flavor. It's good. And we've got creatine, caffeine in there. And this is to be taken with 12 ounces of water. You just mix it up. It's a great product. And you can use promo code conservativecat at checkout for $10 off. So discount that we give you only if you want to support the program so we can build out the show to be bigger, badder, and better. I want it to have exclusives. I want it to have this huge website. I've got big plans for the Conservative Cat Show because you guys deserve quality resources. You guys deserve quality content. And that's what we're all about here. So always send super chats too. I love those. I will be taking your chats here after a couple of more stories. I do want to get to this one. So today's headline could have come straight out of a Babylon Bee article. Okay, the 10 highest paid superintendents in Illinois, they have pocketed cumulatively. Okay, so you take the top 10 highest paid superintendents, you take all of their pay, it totals out to a whopping $4.2 million in 2024, their salaries. Okay, this is just 1 year salary. You total them all up, it comes out to a whopping $4.2 million. And get this, a lot of those superintendents only oversee like one or two schools. Okay, so I've always pointed this out here locally, Bloomington Normal is where I lived, went to school for quite some time. And Barry Riley, this was a fascinating, and this is when I really started to notice, I was like, yeah, education is a complete scam just for some elitists to be paid exorbitant salaries with taxpayer dollars and to not go out there and work in the private sector like the rest of us and create a product, sell it. And if people like that product or service, they buy it and that's how you gain prosperity. You know, it's not getting rich quick. It's gradually, and the Bible commands us to gain our wealth, not hastily. And Barry Riley, his salary is fascinating. Or, well, his pension. Now he's not even the superintendent at District 87 schools anymore. And his pension was like to the tune of $200,000 or something like that. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, District 87 isn't even all that big. There's like 9 schools in that district. And then I was like, okay, let me dive in deeper and dig deeper. I look over to the neighboring district, Peoria School District. The superintendent there is only making $100,000 a year. And they've got like, double, triple the amount of schools in their district. So, none of it really makes sense. Get this, Illinois Policy, they did a deep dive on this, and I can provide you the resources. Email me, conservativecatbarker@gmail.com. You guys can always email me if you want these resources. $400,000 per year one superintendent makes. And get this, only 10% of his students can read at proficient level. At a proficient level. Folks, that's not education. That is organized theft dressed up in a blazer and a lanyard. Okay. They are stealing from you. This guy's making $400,000 a year. Hell, I don't even think the president makes that much money. And before we sink our claws into this, really deep, this is interesting. Illinois Policy Institute, they're a group that fights for taxpayers. Love the Illinois Policy Institute. But I thought it was interesting. Their solution here is district consolidation. I've talked about this before on the program. I don't think that that is the solution here. Fewer superintendents, try to get less superintendents, fewer buildings, fewer layers of management. That all sounds reasonable if you consolidate the districts, okay? So, for example, some of you live in the central Illinois area. There are 2 major districts in Bloomington-Normal. There's the McLean County Unit 5 and District 87. Illinois Policy Institute would argue, and we have so many units of government, the most units of government in the entire nation of the state of Illinois, which is problematic. But I don't think consolidation is the answer. Okay, say you consolidate them. What they're going to wind up doing is just having 2 or 3 or 4 superintendents, or they'll come up with reasons. They're not actually going to can anybody. So say you consolidate those 2 districts, Unit 5 and District 87, you consolidate them. They're not going to get rid of Kristen Weichel, okay, who's the superintendent at Unit 5. They're not going to get rid of her. What they're going to wind up doing is changing her title a little bit and maybe changing her pay around a little bit, but they're not going to cut the administration. They never do. So it's just going to get bigger. And I am anti-big government, right? We want it as close to the people as possible. One education expert says, not so fast, let's not consolidate. And he provides some reasons, and I'm going to walk you through those reasons. His name is Tony Kinnett, has connections, I believe, to the Heritage Foundation. He's a former teacher and administrator from Indiana. And he says consolidations of these districts could just make the problem bigger. Okay. And today we are diving into it. We're diving into what's wrong with Illinois education, where your property taxes are going, and why this fight isn't about really structure. It's about values and how they value bureaucracy. They don't give a damn about the teachers. Teachers are useful idiots and pawns in the whole scheme of things. They're not putting the money towards, the teachers, although the teachers, I have made my case here, make plenty of money. They don't need to make any more. They're making way, way above average in the average Illinoisan. So don't listen to them when they say, oh, we don't make enough money. That's a lie. okay. So it's really about the values. They don't value education. They don't value the student. They value their paychecks. They care about getting paid with taxpayer money and getting rich quick, and it's a scam. So education in Illinois is a scam. Let's start with the numbers, because math does not lie, even though Springfield does. Illinois has 866 school districts. That's a ton. Okay, and nearly half of them serve fewer than three districts or three schools. Okay, so I actually remember when I was growing up, my school district, there are three schools. They have a primary school and an elementary school, and then they have one school for the middle school and the high school. Okay, so there's not a ton of schools in that district, and they only serve like a few schools. Okay, the districts, fewer than three schools, or the district will only serve a few schools. So in some areas, you've got a superintendent. For example, my hometown, you have a superintendent who's making an exorbitant salary. I'm sure it's over $100,000 a year. And really, he's like presiding over one or two buildings. Okay. And with enrollment going down, a lot of those buildings are kind of half empty. Student enrollment is down just across the board, statewide, in many cases. So you've got a superintendent presiding over a couple of buildings, and some of these buildings are like half empty because student enrollment is so low. So if you ask the average Illinois taxpayer, they'll tell you, hey, we're paying record high property taxes for the schools. A good chunk, I would say like 80%, I think it is, maybe 70 to 80% of your property tax bill is going directly to the schools. Okay. But when you look closer, a lot of that money isn't going to the schools or the classrooms or the students. It's going to pensions and the shiny administrative titles like the executive director of equity and cultural responsiveness. Okay, so that's where your money is going. They're going into these offices, going into the office of the superintendent for him to have a nice little swivel chair. Or whatever the hell. They're not actually going, your property tax dollars are not going towards the schools, the classrooms, the students. They're going into the pockets of these people who fundamentally are trying to get rich quick and fundamentally are anti-private sector people. They would prefer to get rich off of somebody else and not provide a service or a product. In other words, your money is going towards the education industrial complex. Now, look at some of these numbers. This is insanity. At Rich Township High School, okay, the superintendent took home $423,000 last year. That's not counting benefits. Okay, that's just his basic salary. Okay, that's not counting insurance, pension, none of that. Okay, that is just flat salary, which is insane to me. That's more than the president of the United States. And get this, only 10% of the students there in that district can read at grade level, and only 4% can do math at grade level. Okay, those are very low numbers. You can't even find numbers that low on a broken calculator. So contrast that. None of this makes sense. Contrast that guy who's making the $423,000 a year, and he's yielding absolutely no results. I mean, 10% of the kids can read. Contrast that with Stevenson High, okay, where the superintendent earns less, $387,000, still crazy, but over 70% of the students can read at a proficient level. So is the money spent well there? Maybe. But even then, I mean, you're only 70% reading at grade level. That's not anything. It's better than a lot of districts, but it's not really anything to write home about. You're sinking nearly $4,000 to run like a school. That Stevenson High in Lincolnshire, that superintendent is only running like a couple of schools, if not like one. Okay. Is the money well spent there? Arguably, no, still. And none of this really makes sense. Okay. The guy making $423,000, his students can't read at grade level. None of them practically can. Only 10% of them can read at grade level. Then you go to Chicago. You've got Pedro Martinez. He's the head of the Chicago public school system. There's a ton of schools in that system, like 600 schools, 300,000 students. And he ranked 19th in pay. Okay, he's not even in the top 10 paid, which is fascinating. Now, I'm not saying Chicago's doing great, but think about that for a second. The guy responsible for hundreds of schools makes less than the guy managing two. It's just that tells you all you really need to know about Illinois. There is no logic there. You pay more, you get less. This guy making $423,000, we're getting less out of that guy than the guy who's making less than him at $387,000. So I bring all these numbers up, and how do we fix it? Well, the Illinois Policy Institute says consolidation. We should just merge all of the districts. You can cut down on the number of superintendents. You can have multiple schools under one roof. Fewer layers, fewer salaries, more money for the classrooms. Okay, if you have fewer salaries to pay, you'd be able to pay more towards the classrooms. Now, on its surface, it sounds like common sense. But Tony Kinnett, like I said, he's an education expert. He says, whoa, 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 hold your horses, Illinois. That is not a way to fix this problem. You're not going to fix your reading scores by making bureaucracy bigger and harder to manage. Because remember, once you consolidate, the government gets a little bit bigger, and it's harder to reach your superintendent. Okay, it's harder to get in his face and ask him, hey, why are only 10% of students able to read at grade level? If you have, you know, a superintendent presiding over multiple schools, hundreds of schools, it's going to be pretty damn near impossible to reach the superintendent and be close to your government. Okay, it's going to make it bigger. And we all know that they're just going to shuffle their titles around. Okay. And like I said, I gave the example of District 87 and Unit 5 possibly consolidating. These are two school districts in the Bloomington Normal area. If they consolidated, Kristen Weichel is not going to get fired. They're going to change her title up, and she might not be superintendent anymore. She might take a pay cut, but not substantially enough to a substantial pay cut to where it's going to help the taxpayer. Okay, so here's how Tony Kinnett puts it. He says, quote, while I understand the desire to consolidate and shift a larger number of students and buildings under one larger superintendent's salary, that is not going to fix education practices. That is not the answer for fixing education practices. Translation, you can rearrange the chairs on the Titanic all you want, but the ship's sinking, man. Okay, and you really haven't solved the problem by shifting the chairs around. Tony's right. The issue isn't how many superintendents you have. It's what they're doing. Illinois education has become a bloated machine fueled by paperwork, DEI compliance, endless strategic plans. I actually talked about the racial discipline. They're required by Illinois law to come up with a strategic plan to address their discipline if they happen to discipline more students of color than white students. Okay, they have to come up with a strategic plan and submit it to the state, the Illinois State Board of Education. They have to submit that plan. I mean, that's what Illinois education has become. It's not about the students anymore. The students can't read. They can't read out of their books. I know this. I know some kids who can't read, and they should definitely be reading at this age. And they can't read, or their parents have to hire a tutor. I know some parents who've had to hire a tutor because their kids are so far behind, and they've hired tutors for their own kids. because the school's not cutting it. Although you're paying thousands of dollars in property taxes, you have to spend even more money to tutor your child, because thousands of dollars you're spending in property taxes isn't obviously going to the kids. It's going to this bloated machine. So it's not about consolidation. It's about conviction. We need people in this industry and in our institutions in education who give a damn about the kids and who are in it for the kids. We have nobody in there who cares about these kids anymore. We've built an empire that serves administrators instead of the students. That's what this is. It's an empire that serves the administrators. And it's all a bunch of people who want to get rich quick. It's a faithless system that really measures its success on budget growth. How much can we squeeze out of the taxpayers to pay our salaries and to pay our pensions? It's not about student growth. They're not looking at student growth. Clearly, there are schools out there in Illinois where only 10% of students can read at grade level. And Illinois Policy and others, you know, who call for consolidation, it's well-intentioned, but I think that it really misses the point. They, like I said, you can rearrange the chairs on the sinking Titanic, but it's not really going to stop the ship from sinking. So Tony Kinnett, the educational expert, he says something else that kind of cuts through the noise here. He says, quote, consolidation doesn't necessarily assist in general bloat, because you're going to move some superintendent salaries and then they're going to create more administrative staff members once you consolidate. Okay. So they're actually going to use the consolidation probably to justify other titles. Okay. When you merge the districts, they're not going to fire people. The government's not interested in firing people. They never do. They're not interested in cutting. They'll just kind of move their chairs around and shift titles, and maybe they take some pay cuts. But every time you simplify government, bureaucrats invent new titles to justify their existence. They will invent new titles for themselves, okay, these superintendents, and they will stay on even at like a slightly less, lower salary. They will justify their existence. Why? Because they are get rich quick scam artists, all of them. Okay. That's why they're there. They're not in it for the kids. They're in it because they don't want to go into the private sector, sell a product or service that people actually want. They don't want to work. Okay. That's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So the real enemy here is bureaucracy. Now, your legislator signed off on something. and this just goes to show you that this is all about bureaucracy. And the enemy here isn't really geography or consolidation or too many districts. Although we should definitely not have as many districts. And I'll get to how that will happen here in just a little bit. Just stick with me. But your legislators, they signed off on a bill. It's called House Bill 2966. And this bill allowed the state to fund reorganization studies. Okay, so now they're spending more taxpayer dollars to study how to spend less taxpayer money and learn how to consolidate these districts, these school districts or local units of government. Okay, so that is what I like to call the government hamster wheel. Okay, it's the same sort of idea when you're looking at the sales tax that they recently implemented in McLean County. They did a sales tax, a 1% sales tax for the schools. Okay, so the schools were already taking a majority of your property taxes, like 80% of your property tax goes to the school districts. And then they said, well, that's not enough. We're going to have to implement a sales tax. And then through mental gymnastics, they were able to convince some people, a majority of people, because they voted on it. They voted yes for the sales tax. They, through mental gymnastics, they tried to convince you that raising the taxes or adding a new tax was going to somehow lower your property tax bill. Yeah, that is called a government hamster wheel, and they want you stuck on it. Okay, so they're trying to convince us now, hey, let's spend more taxpayer dollars to study how consolidation and reorganization studies, how that would work here in the state of Illinois, so we can spend less taxpayer dollars eventually. Spend more, and then eventually we're going to figure out how to spend less. Yeah, no, it's a government hamster wheel. And who gets left behind in all of this? I don't want you to forget about who gets left behind. It's the student. It's the single mom trying to afford her property taxes. It's the teacher who, you know, and there's not a ton of them left, but there's some. It's the teacher who got in this for all the right reasons. She got in it because she loves kids, and the district has tied her hands with this endless DEI training sessions. I mean, the teachers, they can't teach what they want. Their curriculum is passed down via edict by the state, and they can't teach what they want, and their hands are tied. Okay, this is who gets left behind. The student, the single mom, trying to afford a property tax bill, and then you've got the teacher who actually got into it for all the right reasons and wasn't a get-rich-quick scam artist. And you see, bureaucracy doesn't just waste money. It crushes people. It replaces personal responsibility with procedural compliance, and it breeds cynicism. And when you take God out of schools, bureaucracy becomes God. And that is what has happened. We need to put God back into schools, and we need to fix the hole in the ship rather than rearranging the chairs. Okay, the hole in the ship is that you've got all these people in there who are in it for the wrong reasons. And Tony Kinnett, he says that Illinois shouldn't be merging districts. They should be breaking them apart. Smaller, independent, charter-style systems, local control, local accountability. That's what Louisiana did. So a little history lesson after Hurricane Katrina. They rebuilt New Orleans, their education system there from the ground up with charters, choice, and competition. And guess what? Test scores went up. Students started doing better. Parental involvement went up and corruption went down. Okay, so charter schools. A lot of people don't know, especially in the state of Illinois, what a charter school even is because we don't have them here. And the media will never tell you how great charter schools are. Okay, charter schools are actually publicly funded. It's a publicly funded school that operates independent of traditional district bureaucracy. They're almost like contractors, okay? It's free for families, just like public school. Taxes go towards it. And it's governed, though, by its own board under a charter, and it's contracted with the state. So a charter sets a clear performance standard. And if the school does not deliver results or does not fulfill the agreement or their end of the contract, it can be shut down. Okay, so there's no political protection. It's just accountability and freedom. And that is two things that the public school system fears the most is accountability and freedom. And charters allow teachers, actually, because they're contract workers, essentially, or their contract with the state, they're allowed to innovate and design their own curriculum that fits the students, not a state template. So what we've got right now is a state template, and the teacher, her hands are tied. She has to follow the state template, and she's busy attending the DEI training sessions, all that. You can pray in charter schools. You can teach civics honestly. You can run the classroom built on discipline, on respect, and community values. And you're free to do it because you have more freedom because you're a contract worker, essentially, or it's contracted out by the state. The state pays for you, but you have to meet your obligation to receive the funding and to be publicly funded. So in short, they really bring back the soul. And that's what's going on in education. You can rearrange the chairs of the Titanic, but if you don't fix the sinking ship, the hole in the side of the ship, it's going to sink. And you got to bring back the soul in schooling. And we've got a bunch of Beckys in there right now who got it. No offense to Beckys. I know a few of them. You've got a bunch of 25-year-old nose-piercing, blue-haired Beckys who got in it all for the wrong reasons, got into it for all the wrong reasons. They wanted to get rich quick, and they don't actually want to create a product or provide a service that somebody actually wants and demands of them. And, you know, right now, the only thing public about public education is the bill. Okay, the bill that comes in the mail that your property taxes, that's the only thing public about it, because parents have no say, teachers have no flexibility, and the students have no hope unless they are born in the right zip code. Okay, now if Illinois embraces charter schools, like most other states, and like I said, they built up Louisiana from Hurricane Katrina from the ground up, and they really focused on charter schools, or even making school choice a thing. Okay, we don't even have to go there with the charter schools. We just need to make school choice a thing. For example, there's an education savings account or savings tax credit that you get when you donate. You know, you get a tax credit back that can be applied towards, you know, a school of your choice, like the Invest in Kids Act that they allowed to be suspended. The state did. They allowed the Invest in Kids Act to be suspended. But there's a federal program now under President Donald Trump. This is the educational choice provision within the Big Beautiful Bill. It provides you a tax credit, and it would allow families to pick a school that fits their faith, their values, and their child's learning style. And that is the America First way. That is liberty applied to education. And you compare that, all that, to Illinois. School choice, compare what Louisiana has to Illinois. Illinois, this is a place where teachers' unions, they rule with an iron fist. If you dare try to start a charter school, you will be, I don't even know if it's legal. Like, the state of Illinois might have banned charter schools. I never really heard of one before. You'll be hit with so much red tape, you will never be able to start a charter school. Why? Because the teachers rule. The teachers union, they rule with an iron fist. Try firing a teacher. Okay, the teacher consistently has poor results or yields poor results. Their students are not meeting important benchmarks. You'll end up in court. You can't fire teachers if they're not doing their jobs. You can't fire Becky with the nose ring because she's identifies as non-binary or whatever the hell. Try questioning the curriculum. Hey, this curriculum doesn't quite sound right to me. It doesn't sound like it's really going to help my my child meet these very important benchmarks. If you try to question the state template, the state-approved curriculum, you will be labeled a domestic terrorist, which is exactly what happened over the last couple of years. So, folks, this is educational bondage. But choice, school choice, that is the biblical model. That is how we fix this thing. And eventually those 800 odd school districts or whatever, we have so many of them, most units of local government in all of the nation. What will wind up happening is schools are going to compete. The worst ones will close down. Okay. And that's how we kind of fix this thing. So I want to sum it up. Illinois is spending billions on a system that doesn't teach kids. We've got superintendents pulling six-figure salaries, superintendents pulling salaries higher than that of the president of the United States. And meanwhile, the kids can't figure out how to do basic math. And you've got lawmakers patting themselves on the back saying, oh, we passed a bill and we're going to study consolidation and reorganization, and that's going to take years and it's going to solve nothing. It's going to take a ton of taxpayer dollars to fund these studies. And we've got working families, real hardworking Illinois families footing the bill for this whole thing. Money, it's a moral problem in the schools. Okay. And we've got to build education on service. Again, this has got to be a service, and you've got to have people in this institution who give a damn about kids. Okay, you've got teachers right now, they don't even care about kids. You think Becky with the nose ring, who got a hysterectomy because Donald Trump was elected, cares about kids? Like, really? It is a moral problem. And, you know, it's a rotted out, you've got a rotten foundation. So Tony Kinnett is right. Illinois doesn't need bigger districts. It needs better direction. We need to restore faith in our schools. We need to unleash school choice. And we got to bring truth back into the classroom, because the future of this country doesn't rest in Washington or Springfield or some superintendent's bonus plan. Okay, it rests in the hearts of parents and teachers who still believe in the truth and give a damn about these kids. Okay, so our future it rests in your hands, and we have to weed out the bad people in these institutions, the people who don't care about kids and want to just be there to get rich quick. We have to weed those people out and replace them with actual teachers who care. And then we have to do school choice. Charter schools is actually my answer to the problem, not consolidation. I would love to see charter schools be a thing. I think that they're fantastic. They're fantastic. All right. Smash that like button, share this out with your friends, and subscribe to the channel. Hit that like button. I thought Peoria started a charter school, but it closed down already. Yeah, I would love to dig up that and see why it closed down. If you were to try to start charter schools here in the state of Illinois, the teachers union will shut that down very, very quick. Quicker than JB is to get out in front of a camera and bitch and moan about immigration authorities, okay? Which leads me to my next story. He's so quick to get out there on the camera and bitch and moan about the immigration and customs enforcement officers who have arrived to his city to apprehend illegal immigrants. The left is foaming at the mouth as ICE arrives to these blue cities, cracking down on crime, apprehending criminal illegal aliens. But most of the governors and the mayors in these cities, they'll say, oh, there's nothing to see here. There is no crime in these blue cities. But most of the residents who live there would disagree. The residents who live in these affected areas, they are welcoming the ICE officers with open arms. They're saying, yes, please come. Please, please, please come. Most recently, you've got Portland, Oregon, Chicago. This is where there have been several outrageous anti-ICE protests. Now, these aren't the residents who live there who were affected by the violent crime. The anti-ICE protests are organized by left-wing organizations that are funded by billionaires. Okay, but a lot of those anti-ICE protests have taken place in Portland, Oregon, and Chicago, Illinois. Okay. And the elected officials in both these areas, they claim that their cities and their states are under control. And it's fascinating because one of these elected officials, he's waking up this morning and he's like, the internet is forever. And the internet can be kind of problematic when you're trying to spin a narrative. So let's get to this. This is JB. Can you believe this guy? He's threatening to prosecute law enforcement for enforcing the law and arresting murderers, pedophiles, rapists, drug traffickers, and gang members. It's completely disgusting what he says here. Take a listen to JB.
The tables will turn someday. These people should recognize that maybe they're not going to get prosecuted today, although we're looking at doing that, but they may get prosecuted after the Trump administration for the things that they did because the statute of limitations won't have run. The tables will turn someday. These people should recognize.
The tables will turn someday. Okay. Yeah. He wants the 2028 presidential spot. That's what he wants. Okay. But the internet's kind of problematic for Governor J.B. Pritzker. That's the video. Yeah. I saw Governor J.B. Pritzker saying if he gets in power, he'd arrest ICE agents. Yeah. He's calling for the prosecution of ICE agents who are literally out there arresting murderers, pedophiles, drug traffickers, human traffickers, the worst of the worst, gang members. It's completely disgusting. No wonder Chicago has a murder rate 330% higher than the national average. Let me say that again. Chicago has a murder rate 330% higher than the national average under Governor J.B. Pritzker. Chicago last year saw 571 people murdered, dead. Okay, just last year, 571. Compare that to Washington, D.C., which they also had a big problem, 180, okay, murders last year. So his conduct is contributing here, threatening to prosecute ICE agents who are taking these murderers off the streets, taking these rapists, these pedophiles, these human traffickers off the streets. His conduct is contributing to domestic terrorists really attacking law enforcement. People feel emboldened because they've got this leadership, this state leader at the tippity top condoning their actions of going after brave law enforcement. If you're calling for the prosecution of these law enforcement officials, these ICE agents, it's no wonder that you've got Becky with the nose ring and the shaved head out there throwing rocks and ramming ICE vehicles and bringing guns to these anti-ICE protests, okay? He's going to get somebody killed with this trash. It's already happened in Brighton Park, a woman... she went to this anti-ICE protest. She was having, she had a gun. She rammed an ICE vehicle. And subsequently, she was shot by ICE. Okay, so recently, and I say that Governor J.B. Pritzker, he might not want to get out there and start saying like, Chicago has no problem here. There's no problem here. There's no crime problem here. He might want to stop that. Recently, former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy appeared on the Will Cain Show, and McCarthy promptly made fun of one of Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's latest shenanigans. He went into the neighborhood of Little Village, and in an Instagram video, he rambled about how he felt safe walking through Chicago, and that this wasn't a war zone, and he actually talks to small business owners, and he was talking to patrons at some of these small businesses, and he, you know, dropped a snarky comment in this video. He said that there's no emergency, and he says there's no emergency. So Donald Trump understands this. There is no emergency to send troops in, and he made that very clear in the video. He doesn't think there's an emergency. However, McCarthy on the Will Cain Show, he actually pointed this out. He says, "Quote: Governor J.B. Pritzker today put out another video and." Little Village, talking about how safe he feels. Well, Little Village is actually the primarily a Hispanic neighborhood here in Chicago. The district is down about 55% so far this year in murder. Okay. Well, why do you think that is? Where do you think ICE has been working in Chicago since January? You know, he's putting out all these videos saying the internet is forever. He's putting out all these videos saying, oh, it's actually pretty safe here. Yeah, because ICE is actually doing their job and they're getting the murderers, the pedophiles, the rapists, the human traffickers off the street. McCarthy in the show, he also pointed out that Pritzker's almost predictable hypocrisy in the video. And added, quote, if he doesn't want the resources, he should go to a place where they are succeeding right now. It's really ironic. It just goes to show you how little he knows about the city. So it's kind of hypocritical. He goes to a place where ICE has already been. Murder is actually down in Little Village by 55% this year. And I think it's fascinating because ICE has already been working that area since January. So maybe it's safe, JB. In this area you're talking about and you're filming, it's probably safe where you feel safe because ICE has been doing their job since January of this year. And, you know, the media is doing their best to try to float this idea out there that Black residents in Chicago don't want ICE agents or the National Guard troops in Chicago. And that is not true. Social media tells a different story. real videos of real residents. They are welcoming ICE and National Guard troops because they know that they are there to help. I want to share this with you. This just in, breaking: Chicago residents are demanding Mayor Brandon Johnson drop his taxpayer-funded security detail if the city is safe, as safe as he claims. After it was revealed his protection includes 150 police officers costing $22.5 million in salaries alone each year. Wow. Okay. Well, there you have it. Chicago Black residents, they are not happy with Brandon Johnson claiming that everything is safe and everything is fine. It's hunky-dory here. Don't look over here, Donald Trump. Don't send National Guard here. But really, you know, J.B. Pritzker, he needs to watch these videos that he makes because the internet is forever. And, you know, I think that him going to Little Village and filming this little neighborhood in Chicago, this has been an area of focus. It's primarily Hispanic residents for ICE agents to go there and deport and apprehend criminally legal aliens. Perhaps the crime is getting better in these areas. And you're right, J.B., because ICE has been doing their jobs since January. Now, JB is definitely running for president in 2028. I think that is why he's engaged in really a war with President Donald Trump over, you know, the presence of ICE in the National Guard in Chicago. He's engaged in the war. He also inserted himself in the gerrymandering thing with Texas, although we are the most gerrymandered state in the nation. He keeps inserting himself in the public conversation, in the national conversation. Now, Pritzker fired a shot at President Donald Trump, and this is what he said. He suggested that, quote, this man, Trump, suffers from dementia and that he has something stuck in his head and he can't get it out of his head. He's doesn't know anything that's up to date. There's just something deep inside of his head, in his brain, that's causing him to call out these cities. Okay, so Trump shot back, you know, and they're kind of warring. And really what's going on here is Governor J.B. Pritzker is wanting to run for presidential 2028, presidential run in 2028. And that's why he's trying to spit things out at President Donald Trump. Trump, he shot back on Truth Social. He goes, the Chicago mayor should be in jail for failing to protect ICE officers. Governor Pritzker also. So they might not be playing tough guys for long, Brandon Johnson and Governor J.B. Pritzker, because guess what? President Donald Trump, on his way home from the Middle East, he appeared to kind of up the ante here. And he said that he could invoke the Insurrection Act and go into Chicago, which I have been calling since day one. I said that Donald Trump can easily just invoke the Insurrection Act and go into Chicago. He doesn't have to keep up this fight. There is a legal avenue for him to federalize this city. Okay. He didn't have to do it with Washington, D.C. because it was already under federal jurisdiction. Okay. So when asked if he had a message for Pritzker, you know, shortly after his trip to the Middle East, gave a speech about the peace deal between Israel and Hamas, Trump stated this, quote, I think he should beg for help because he's running a bad operation. He's letting people get killed in his city because he doesn't want to deal with Chicago. I love Chicago. Chicago can be a great city again and very quickly. I'd have Chicago cleaned out, criminals removed, we'd remove them. And he says, you know, in Washington, D.C., we took out 1,700 career criminals. These are hardcore criminals. And that's why it's so good right now in Washington, D.C. They're setting records, by the way. It's never been so safe. Restaurants have never done better. They were closing before we went in, and now they're opening up new ones. He alluded to invoking the Insurrection Act. I've been saying that that's what Donald Trump should have done from the beginning and not play this little footsie game with Governor J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Brandon Johnson just go in before Governor J.B. Pritzker makes any more videos of him strolling through neighborhoods. He might want to check out the crime stats and ICE involvement. Okay, ICE involvement in Little Village has been very prevalent since January. And he might want to check the crime stats and figure out why they're so low or why they're lower than the previous year. Like I said, the murder rate in Little Village specifically is where he took this video is lower because ICE has been there since January. I do want to share this. Hold on one more. Check this out. The murder rate. This is a war zone. You know, there was actually a video of Governor J.B. Pritzker on Jimmy Kimmel. It was featured on Jimmy Kimmel, and he was in this, like, way too tight military vest. And he was, like, being satirical or sarcastic and saying that, you know, Chicago is such a war zone, and he's being sarcastic there. But it kind of is. Check this out. The murder rate per 100,000 people, Chicago, it's 21.2%, okay? And then in Kabul, Afghanistan, it was 4%. So think about that. Governor J.B. Pritzker has no problem with this, but he has a problem with Trump sending in the National Guard. This is a war zone. Look at the numbers, okay? All right, I'm going to take a quick break. Smash that like button. We're going to come back, and this is my favorite story of the day. The leak, the lie, and the left's convenient outrage. Okay, so this is all to do with Politico. They leaked this group chat of the Young Republicans group chat. And I mean, the chat is terrible. I'm going to condemn things that were said in the chat. You know, they used the N-word. They called Black people watermelon people. That is just terrible. Okay, they were making jokes. They were distasteful, nasty jokes, and they should be totally condemned. But this is a private chat, okay? They're young kids. They're not running for office. What really bothers me about this story is the double standards, okay? Politico, I'll read you the headline that they issued for Jay Jones. They called it a scandal. They didn't even talk about Jay Jones in the headline, calling for, or not even calling, fantasizing about killing his opponent's two children right in front of him and his wife. Okay, this Democrat threatened to kill kids in a text message, a private text message exchange. And here's where the difference is. These are young Republicans not really running for anything. We've got a top Democrat running for the highest off-air prosecutor role, attorney general in Virginia, and these chats, his text messages were exposed, and you've got no story on it. But Politico makes a huge story about this Young Republicans chat being leaked. So we're going to chat about that here next. Smash that like button, share this out with your friends. I got to take a quick commercial break.
Real strength doesn't need applause, and real faith doesn't flex for attention. Jesus said, when you fast, don't walk around looking miserable. Try to look holy. That's not devotion. That's performance. And God doesn't reward actors. Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18, is Jesus calling men to fast in secret, where only the Father sees, because fasting isn't about proving your discipline. It's about pursuing God with hunger, so real. You trade food for fire. You don't fast to earn points. You don't fast to make space. You weaken the flesh so the spirit gets louder. You say no to your cravings so you can say yes to something deeper. But here's the catch. It's got to be real. Not for your boys, not for social media, just you and God. In the quiet, in the dark. That's where rewards are born, in silence, in secret, in the furnace of unseen obedience. You want to be strong in public? Train in private. Fast without a stage. Pray without applause. Obey without a crowd. Your Father sees in secret, and He's the only one who rewards what matters. Patriot Pump doesn't give you just energy. It keeps you focused. No fluff, no crash, just clean, hard-driving fuel for men who train with purpose and sacrifice. If you're building discipline in the dark, this is your edge. Train hard, stay sharp.
Hey, go ahead and smash that like button, share this out with your friends. I so do appreciate you tuning in. Go ahead, subscribe to the channel. That is a big way you can support the program and help us make Conservative Cat huge. I've got big plans for the Conservative Cat Show, and I want you to be a part of it. You can always support the program by visiting patriotpumpenergy.com. This is the Zeppelin. This is what the bottle looks like. It's fantastic. Fruit punch flavor, the best flavor. And you just mix this in with 12 ounces of water. And this is a great alternative to the crappy energy drinks you see on the shelves that get you addicted to sugar and caffeine. Use promo code ConservativeCat at checkout. Governor J.B. Pritzker, the governor who stiffed the government, $330,000 in taxes on a Gold Coast property. Yeah, that was the toilets thing where he took the toilets out and evaded property tax or evaded taxes. So yeah, not a great guy. Definitely not a great guy. All right, I want to shift gears. Let's talk about Politico because they leaked the group chat, and this is fascinating stuff because there's just such a double standard here. Hypocrisy, whatever you want to call it. Really, it's hierarchy. They think that they are above the law. They think that they can get away with anything. And today's show, I want to label this segment of the show, The Leak, The Lie, and The Left's Convenient Outrage. That's what this segment's all about. So here's what happened. Okay, leaders of the Young Republican groups, leaders of Young Republican groups, okay, they have a group chat, and they were chatting on Telegram, okay, and a Telegram group chat. Okay, so Telegram is usually a place you can go, and you're kind of safe because it's not like Snapchat, it's not like Facebook or anything like that. They probably went there because they thought they were going to be safe from the group chat being linked. Okay. Now, someone linked the screenshots of their group chat, and allegedly they made some pretty vile, racist, violent jokes. Okay. Nasty. The jokes were disgusting. I'm going to condemn the jokes because I'm a decent human being. No real conservative talks about gas chambers and slavery and some of this racist garbage. No real conservative calls black people watermelon people because we believe in God, okay? And we believe that every person is made in the image of God. And, I mean, these kids were joking about it, okay? They weren't outright, you know, going in, like, meaningfully calling black people watermelon people. I truly believe that this was just jokes, and they thought that they were in the privacy of their own chat. I don't like playing identity politics. We don't divide people. Conservatives don't divide people based on skin color or class. Okay. But the second the media got a hold of this group chat, boom, they got a hold of this chat log. And MSNBC, and half of Twitter declared that this is proof that the entire Republican Party are full of Klansmen. Okay? No nuance, no distinction, no grace. These are 24-year-old college kids. Okay? And I want to talk about what actually happened. So their evidence are private messages leaked by somebody from inside the group chat. Okay, so ask yourself this, and honestly ask yourself this. I don't think I would be able to survive if my worst jokes, private jokes, or texts got dumped online. Okay, if it was all stripped of tone and context and handed to a reporter who already hates me, I wouldn't survive. Okay, Now, again, these were vile jokes. I'm not defending any of them. Me as a conservative, I've never made, anything close to some of the stuff that they were saying in this group chat. Okay, but a bad joke isn't a crime, okay? And the media, Politico, they ignored Hunter Biden's laptop. That actually has, it was full of potential crimes. That wasn't just Hunter Biden being edgy and having tasteless humor. You know what I mean? Now you've got the mainstream media, Politico, the same Politico who ignored the Hunter Biden laptop and the contents on that, full of potential crimes. Now you've got them pretending that edgy, tasteless humor is evidence of fascism. Okay, and that the Republican Party is all fascist and that this is evidence of that. Okay, they never, ever, ever apply that standard equally. Which brings me to this little guy. You might know him. He's been making headlines. You probably haven't heard of him if you're a mainstream media consumer. But his name is Jay Jones. Jay Jones, he's a Democrat, activist. He claims that he's a man of tolerance and inclusion, you know, like all of them are. But we actually caught texts. These were leaked. And these texts expose that he allegedly fantasized, these screenshots, killing his political opponent. He fantasized about killing his political opponent's children as well in front of the parents. Okay, he goes, if I had 3 bullets... and Hitler was in front of me, Pol Pot, and my opponent, I would use both bullets on my opponent. I would use 2 bullets on my opponent. Let that sink in. Then he talked about killing the children in front of the wife. Okay, so I'm going to be honest with you. Some of these things were pretty nasty. Like, I'll share. There were some jokes about rape and things that... But it was taken out of context. If you were read the whole text thread, I don't think any of them. And I don't know, maybe you guys will read these and disagree with me. Read some of these. I don't think any of these amount to killing children or fantasizing about killing children in front of their parents. I don't think any of these jokes really amount to that. Okay, so that wasn't really an off-color meme. It really wasn't even a joke about politics. Some of these jokes in this young Republicans group chat is about politics. We're officially under consideration for the Trump endorsement or whatever. They've got these texts or whatever. Making fun of Jewish people. Again, terrible. But this guy literally fantasized about murdering children. Okay, Jay Jones. And Politico's been going to make a big deal about these. Not to mention the guys running for office. Okay, none of these young Republicans are, to be frank, nobodies. Okay? Nobody really cares what they say. I care about the Attorney General of Virginia fantasizing about murdering his political opponents, okay, and his political opponents' children. The mainstream media here did nothing about Jay Jones. The headline, there was no headline. It was more like, I think Politico's headline was something to the effect of, like, the GOP is going to push harder amidst the text scandal, amidst the Jay Jones text scandal or something to that effect. Their headline was complete BS. It wasn't even all that. The headline is he fantasized about murdering children. Okay, that's the headline. There's no national conversation taking place about violence and hate. Just crickets when it comes to Jay Jones. So let me get this straight. Private jokes among young Republicans, front page scandal. Okay, but a Democrat operative, a Democrat who's entrenched in politics and is running for one of the highest offices in the state of Virginia, he's out there talking about child murder and total silence. You know, folks, that's not journalism. It's propaganda. Okay. And this is the same left, by the way, that lectures you about hate speech. And they celebrate mobs burning down entire cities. This is the same crowd that says words are violence right before they post their eat the rich memes or tax the rich memes or whatever, and throw bricks through Starbucks windows or throw bricks at ICE officers. Okay, so they preach tolerance, but they practice tyranny. They preach justice, but they deliver vengeance, and they don't actually care about morality. Okay. One thing I can say about the right is there's never really a lecture since the Charlie Kirk assassination. We have been trying to get the left to condemn it and not celebrate it. But prior to that, you would never hear people on the right lecturing people about hate speech, none of that. And they definitely don't burn down cities. Look what happened after the Charlie Kirk assassination. People were breaking out in prayer groups and vigils and worship nights. Okay, the right does not participate in extreme violence. And we don't also, you know, lecture people about hate speech. Just until recently, where we're trying to get the left to condemn the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So that way the temperature is brought down a little bit, but they will never do that. Why? Because they don't truly care about human dignity. They don't condemn violence from their own side. They will only condemn violence if it comes from the right. And for example, this case, there were some violence texts or jokes about rape, which is just truly awful. And they're quick to condemn people on the right. But they'll never say Jay Jones was wrong. Because in their twisted hierarchy of morality, intent doesn't matter. Team loyalty does. They will never condemn the violence spewed from Jay Jones because he is a part of the team and they are loyal to their team member. I don't think the Young Republicans' intent here was to say or was to be. I think that they truly thought that they were making jokes privately. And that might have been Jay Jones' intent. But he has yet to come out and say that, that was his intent, that it was a joke. You know, it's all kind of been hush hush, like the left. It's all about team loyalty. I want to take a moment here and have an honest talk with you. We can't afford to give the left ammunition. Okay. Try to avoid the stupid racist joke in your, group chat, or try to avoid making an edgy post late at night, or venting in a private chat, because it will be used against you. And the left has built a culture where they get to be edgy. They get to call their crazy violence comedy, okay? But if you even mispronounce a word, or if you joke or make a slightly off-color joke, they will call it hate speech, and they've built a culture where they are exempt. And I don't think that we should play their game. The answer is not to play their game. The answer is to rise above it and just not participate in, you know, the joke, the racist joke. And I know, you know, we're all human, and that we should also be the party of truth, dignity, and redemption, not cancel culture. We should call out real evil and not every clumsy joke. Okay. We should be in the business of calling out real evil and not just watching everything that we say all of the time. We shouldn't shrug off sin, but we've got to be focused on calling out real evil. I think that this would be a great time just to tell you, hey, rise above it. Don't play their game. Rise above it, because they will weaponize every little thing that you say against you. So follow Christ, not the clout. The media is very performative. Their morality is performative. It's all about optics. Who's wearing the right virtue signal? If it's a member of their team, a leftist, then they're going to defend or write soft headlines about that guy. For example, Jay Jones. Christian morality is transformative. It says that you can repent, you can change, and you can be forgiven. That's the difference. So the left says, once a sinner, always a sinner. Jesus says, go and sin no more. Okay, so we don't cancel people, we correct them. And if I got a chance to talk to these young Republicans, I'd say, okay, as long as you recognize that this wasn't good and that it wasn't your intention to be racist in any kind of way, come out, apologize, and go and sin no more, right? But to throw every young Republican, to throw the Republican Party under the bus here and deem them all Klansmen because a 24-year-old's group chat got leaked is just outright ridiculous. We need to be in the business of calling out real evil, not just, you know, these silly little jokes. And not every little clumsy joke. Okay, we need to be in the business of calling out real evil, but we should always watch ourselves and go and sin no more. Okay, so the left, they're going to hide behind this selective outrage. Hold them accountable when they promote violence and when they ignore violence. Hold them accountable. So breaking news, private citizens have said offensive things on the internet. We interrupt our silence about human trafficking, about corruption, about failed foreign wars to tell you about some 20-year-old kids making racist jokes to each other in a private chat. Okay, stay tuned. Republicans on the internet, they are a threat to democracy. But next, after the break, we're going to have a soft-focused interview with Jay Jones about healing America's divisions. So stay tuned for all of that. That is how our American media is. That, like, I couldn't, it, like, I wish I could make the, like, I'm joking, but I'm not. Okay, they don't report on real things like human trafficking. They don't report on corruption. They don't report on failed foreign wars. They would much rather cover 20-year-olds, private citizens, making racist jokes in a private group chat. And they would give softball questions to Jay Jones. So James 3:6 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. It sets on fire the entire course of life. Words matter. And the truth matters. And the truth is both sides have people who say terrible things. Why? Because we're all human, okay? And the difference here, though, that I want to point out is that conservatives will say, well, that's sinful, I condemn it, they should repent, and we should go and sin no more. That was wrong, I repent of that thing. Conservatives will say that. The left never repents, they just rebrand, and they silence, and, you know, come up with these headlines that are soft. The media... We need to model repentance and not surrender to this hypocrisy. And we should call out the hypocrisy when we see it. So at the end of the day, yes, the Young Republican chat was leaked. And Jay Jones and the Jay Jones scandal, the Jay Jones text messages, they were both leaked. And both of these show kind of the same thing, that America is starving for character. You know, at the end of the day, we really just need good character. We need, you know, not hate, not ego, not social media addiction. We need to change our hearts, you know, and I think that it only comes when you're saved and you profess Jesus Christ as not only your Savior, but your Lord. Our politics, you know, has become... One side is playing saints, the other side is playing sinner. And nobody's actually talking about what will actually heal the nation. Like, I want our Democrat parties and our friends to come back to Christ. And I want them to come home. And nobody's talking about what would actually heal our nation, which is God. I think that both Jay Jones, although they're not comparable by any means, it's not an apples to apples comparison. Like I said, they're 24-year-olds in a private chat. They're not in the public eye. They're not running for higher office. They didn't joke about killing children in front of their parents. They made some really distasteful racist jokes, but I don't think it's an apples to apples comparison. I think both show that there is a heart problem in this country. There's something wrong with a lot of people on the right and left, and we need God to heal the nation. We need more people saved. So here's a challenge to conservatives. Don't let outrage culture define your values. Don't let these online clowns define your movement. Be set apart. Okay. And we can't fight moral rot with more moral rot. We have to rise above it. And when we mess up, truly repent. I mean, I've messed up, said things that I probably shouldn't have said. You repent. And that's one thing that the left can't do. And I am praying every single day that Democrats find this repentant heart, because that's really what's going to save this nation, is the softening of everybody's heart. So let me wrap this up. I condemn what those Republicans said. I want to be very clear, but I also condemn the media hypocrisy. They preach tolerance while laughing off the death threats made against children by Jay Jones in this text message. You can't claim you care about hate while ignoring hate from your own team. Okay, I will say it right now. There was hate exhibited in these text messages coming from my own team. And what I would tell those young Republicans, have a repentant heart. And what will ultimately heal this nation is not moral rot coming from our side, but to rise above the moral rot that already exists, and to be set apart and to do better. Okay. So we need revival. My message today, hold people accountable, hold everyone accountable. Don't let the media tell you who's righteous and who's not. That's God's job. Okay. And we should tell the media, though, that they should condemn violence, even when it comes from their own side, when it comes from the left, which is their side, let's be honest, the left, the media, I repeat myself, they're the same thing. And they should print headlines when Democrats talk about killing kids or fantasize about killing kids. And they should print a headline that says, Attorney General candidate via text message fantasizes about killing kids. Like, run that headline, not text message scandal fuels GOP push to gain the attorney general's office, or to flip the attorney general's office, which was what Politico's headline was like. Silence in the face of evil is evil. And Politico shouldn't have been silent about Jay Jones. They should have made more of a deal of it, just like they made a big deal of the leaked young Republican group chat. Okay, smash that like button, share this out with your friends, subscribe to the channel. And be sure to be back here tomorrow, bright and early, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. It's a daily show. We'll be back. So be sure to go to patriotpumpenergy.com. Get your bottle of premium pre-workout, $10 off, if you use promo code conservativecat. Pray for those who are, yes, exactly. We have to pray for those who are against us. Pray for our enemies, which is really hard to do. Ever since I started doing that, though, I've actually been doing it for Governor J.B. Pritzker. I consider him a political enemy of mine. And every night I include him in my prayers. And ever since I started doing that, I feel so much better. Like, and tonight I'm going to include Politico in my prayers, and I'm going to actually mean it. I just feel so much better, and my outlook has really changed. I want the Democrat Party to come back. I seriously want them to come back home and to have a repentant heart and really the only thing that's going to heal the nation is God. All right. You guys have a blessed rest of your day. Good morning, Kat, Bowling Point Live. Just wanted to make sure that I got everybody's comments. Kat, 100% on, 100% spot on. Education is a taxpayer ripoff. Yeah, it's a scam. We need better people in our institutions. We need people who are in it for the right reasons, not to get rich quick. It's loaded with Beckys who decided to get in there and didn't want to actually create a product or a service or do anything to get money. They just wanted to suckle off of the taxpayer teat. So, Carl, always glad to see you. Glad to see you, Robert, new subscriber. All right. You guys have a blessed rest of your day. Bye-bye.